Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
There's a reason Chevy trucks are known for their dependability, because they show up no matter the weather, push forward no matter the terrain, and deliver. That's why Chevrolet has earned more dependability awards for trucks than any other brand in 2025, according to J.D. Power. Because in every Chevy truck, like every Chevy driver, dependability comes standard. Visit Chevy.com to learn more. Chevrolet received the highest total number of awards among all the trucks in the J.D. Power 2025 U.S. Vehicle Dependability Study. Awards based on 2022 models. Newer models may be shown. Visit jdpower.com/awards for more details. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
Some days call for working up a sweat, working on your passion, and endless action. Ditch the glitch with Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Refreshing flavors like strawberry kiwi and blackberry lemonade. Scientifically formulated to support physical energy, hydration, focus, mood, and social stamina. Liquid IV's new Energy Multiplier Sugar-Free. Hydrating energy. Tap the banner to learn more.
Change is always happening, but no matter what changes in 5 years, there's one thing that will stay the same: the price of your internet. With the Xfinity 5-year price guarantee, you get 5 years of the most reliable Wi-Fi with our best equipment included for a price that stays exactly the same. Restrictions apply. New residential customers only. Taxes and fees extra and subject to change. Most reliable Wi-Fi based on Open Signal Awards USA. Fixed broadband experience report, August 2024.
Hi, this is Tony Ruggiero here on the Tour of Coach podcast, where we bring you the best mental coaches, fitness experts, teachers, players, everything from my journey in the game of golf to help you learn to play better golf, teach better golf, and enjoy the game. Come on in. We're going to have some fun.
All right. So joining me here on the Tour Coach, one, doesn't need any introduction. He's been on a lot with me lately. Seems like my partner in crime, Matthew Rudy. Always great hanging out. He always he makes me sound more literate, which is which is really difficult to do at times. And also joining us is Michael Jacobs from up on Long Island, one of the great teachers in the game, and he's got some interesting stuff always going on, especially with his Jacobs 3D and the science and the stuff that he's learned. And that he teaches, and I'm interested to pick his brain. Michael, I am guaranteed I'm going to make a trip up there soon, getting some more time. Yeah, I really want to see it. I really do. And Matt and I've talked too. I want to bring one of my players up and put them through that, because like I learn, the way I learn is best if I watch somebody I teach and I see, and I want to see, you know, how it goes through. I think that helped me learn a lot as well as help the player. So, first of all, thanks for taking the time to join us. And Matt, thanks as always for sitting in. And I thought this discussion, I know Matt will have some great questions for us as well, but talk a little bit about the science that you use, but how you kind of blend old school teaching. It's not, I think, because I picked Matt's brain on this about how you teach and use the stuff that you use. And it's not exactly what everybody would think stepping into your lab. I thought this would be kind of a good place to start.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, the Jacobs 3D research program that we've done in the research company, what we do is we do research. That doesn't necessarily mean that all the research makes it to the curriculum. But no, we pride ourselves in your traditional golf instruction. It's just that with the information that we're able to study and research, it speeds up the process of getting someone better. And that's really what it's all about. We're able to identify a lot of things that if you go back 20 or 30 years, they were just something that you would think never could be done. So I do spend a lot of time on the research. When it comes to a student coming and visiting, I'll ask them what they want. A lot of my students will come and they say they want the whole story. They want every detail. Some of them come Some players you've heard of, they come and they just want to know what they need to do. They don't need to know the background behind it. They just want to know. So I really leave it up to the student how in-depth we want to go. I always pride myself on that there has to be one place in America or in the world where you could go and get any answer you want. So that's our mission statement. So we could pretty much answer just about everything down to muscle firing patterns. So I
spent a lot of time with Mike and working on a lot of projects with him and books and things. And one of the first things that we talked about when the first book came out was that what Jacobs 3D really does, it changes the focus in golf instruction from the exhaust, the stuff that comes out of the back of the engine. Everyone looks at the exhaust, things that happened, the effect, and it changes it to what's happening with the fuel and with the engine, and the cause. And I mean, when I started to look at some of that data and try to get a handle on how he was describing it in an effort to help it make it more understandable for the average person, that was the big thing, which is most people are working on something way too late. They're working on the things at the end of the chain, not at the beginning of the chain.
And a lot of what we've uncovered over the years is identifying what this particular person who's here is capable of doing. I think one of the big problems with golf instruction is it's all has to be one size fits all. And I talked to Matt, Matt, I used to argue with Matt about it. I wouldn't say argue, but when we used to do a lot of articles for magazines, it was always, well, you got to give them something to do. They're sitting in their chair.
They need a tip.
And then, I said, Matt, well, how about I give them something to think about or take a look at, because they might not be able to do it. So it's a very unsatisfying answer to say that there's no one size fits all for what people are able to do. And if you went to the airport and you were sitting down and you were watching people walk by, no two people look the same walking by. So you couldn't expect any two people to move anywhere near the same. And then, what's interesting about golf is if you go back 100 years ago, you could be pretty relatable to a professional player. You could play a match and you can have a handicap and you could watch a professional player swing and, they might look somewhat similar to you, but those days have
long gone.
Long gone. And you have to understand that you're dealing with superior athletes. And I had a Hall of Famer here 3 weeks ago and we started first shot in the air, Patrick Harrington, first shot in the air for the lesson day, 7:15 in the morning. Final shot hit in my studio, 8:45 p.m. 13 and a half hours. I mean, we did eat lunch and we did chat and all that, but there's not too many people who could do that. And you have to understand that if you're trying to copy the swing of somebody who's doing that on a daily basis, it's like trying to copy Usain Bolt in a sprint to your car.
I was reading an article about one of the early Ryder Cups and the British team was short a guy and one of the writers who was covering it stood in for one of the people who was missing and won his match. I don't think that would happen at Bethpage here in a couple of weeks.
I thought one of the interesting thing, there was a lot in there, Michael, but like the whole idea about you give the player what they want, because every player is different. And to me, especially professional players or touring players or guys trying or girls trying to play at that level, there's the folks that want to know everything. And then there's the player that's like, I just want to know why the ball goes X when I'm under pressure, And I think that's, and then the other part was the whole, Matt, you talked about the exhaust and I think that, you see tons of, that's the one thing I think that when I watch young teachers and we have all these young teachers that are part of a group, Matt, you've talked to them, is like helping them understand that like helping a player isn't just like a bunch of little sound bites you put out on social media. Like it's really sometimes taking time and finding out what the cause of something is and not just chasing all the little symptoms that they don't like on the video on their phone.
Like I have this conversation with my friend Brian all the time. I taught as just a regular on the line golf teacher for 12 or 13 years before we even started a research project. That I had a, you know, every day, 9 lessons a day, and I wasn't going to eat unless I made people better. And I think a lot of people are trying to bypass that initial phase. Yeah. And you know, it's not the greatest thing to bypass.
No, you learn a lot from those lessons. I always say, you know, I could have probably been sued for malpractice for some of those early years, right?
But they all came back, Tony. So at the time, you can't look back with today's lens and judge yourself. You know, it's a different.
I also think an important thing to say about the technology, and I think, you know, people know that Mike and I have been friends for a long time, and so I'll get lots of coaches who ask me, you know, what's it like to go watch Mike teach. They think that his studio is like going into a you know, Tron, like a movie.
Yeah.
Crazy. And it can be, I mean, I guess technically it can be, but the reality is when you watch Mike teach or you watch a coach who's fully assimilated this information, it's like other tools. Mike's tool is at the top of Mount Everest, but the uses of the tool become so ingrained. Mike can watch someone in a lesson now, and he doesn't need the tools. The tools were part of figuring out patterns and seeing what's going on. So I think if you went, you know, Mike taught my daughter last summer, and when you watched that lesson, he didn't have any technology. You know,
I'll give you a perfect example. So I had the unfortunate experience of falling off a ladder in March and breaking my arm pretty bad. So I lost a lot of blood, and I had to get 2 transfusions, and then I had heart trouble right after. Yeah, my heart went into AFib. And then I got better, and then when my blood count was really low. And I teach a very famous heart doctor, and he's at the top of his game at the most sophisticated heart lab there is. He came in my studio one day. He took his iPhone. He turned the flashlight on. He looked at my corner of my eyes, my corner of this. He took a couple other looks. He listened to my breath for a second, and he guessed all my blood count numbers to the exact number just by
way.
Yeah. He's looked at it so much. He's like, no, you don't have to come in for a stress test. You're good. And that's, you know, that's pretty much the same type of thing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. They've seen so much. You talked about it. You know, you taught regular lessons on the, you know, 12 years before you started going into this. What was it that prompted you? Because I know you know how much you love the research. I mean, I talked to Matt. I get all this info about you from Matt. Just so you know, and right, like, what prompted you to go down that road? I'm just curious because I went down the road trying to figure out why some people weren't getting better with buying force plates and then doing stuff with fitness for certain reasons. I'm just curious what prompted you down this road.
I don't know. I think it was just a desire to know. I don't know. And Matt could answer that better. He's more.
Yeah. I've never met anybody
a little more primitive than he is.
I mean, I'm lucky in that I've been able to do books with all kinds of leadership types and Olympic athletes and Navy SEALs and, you know, people who are really focused on performance. And I think the reason Mike does what he does, in my experience, is similar to the attitude of some of these other people, in that if there's a better solution or a better answer, you get to one answer. And if you can see over the horizon and see that there are some other answers available, there's no question that you're going to keep moving forward and try to find those answers or find those solutions. And I've heard Mike say it lots and lots of times. He doesn't ever want to be in a position where a student asks him a question and he doesn't know.
Correct.
The answer. And even if, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people in every profession, my profession, your profession, any profession that I've run across, where good enough is good enough. And people who are the best at it are the ones who never get to that spot and say, well, that was a good enough answer for this lady who's hitting it, you know, 120 yards. I've never seen Tony. I've never seen you pack it in with a student like that. Mike, I've never seen you do that. And I mean, that's why it's special to spend time with coaches like that, because they always want to know more and they want to have answers when people have questions.
I actually think the further along I've gotten, like I remember those days, like where, you know, I had to have the lesson book full to eat, you know, like, and I actually think as the further along I've gotten, the more the hunger to learn and to try to figure out, like why people are getting better. Are they not? Like, it's like, I actually want to take more time off now to try to go learn more than even I did at the beginning. I think at the beginning, I was just so consumed with trying to figure out how to make a living.
Yeah. You're trying to make, right? make a living.
Know? And now it's like, well, now it's like, I'm deathly afraid that like, I'm going to have somebody come to me and I'm going to tell them the wrong shit.
Right.
You know, like, I don't want to be the guy that's known for screwing up somebody good that came to me, you know?
You know, I might be telling them something that's perfectly biomechanically correct and they might not perform well and they might...
There's more factors.
Yeah, but yeah.
But I think
one thing I've learned.
I have to say, too, that with the better information, I know Mike can help more people in a given year because he has better information. The lesson procedure, you know, you can, you know, the pad passing the information is more efficient, and the way the student takes in the information is more efficient. So that just means there's more, you know, you can help more people. And I think
you start to get to the highest level of golf, the mechanic side and golf swing side is less than half of it. So
at Sierra, discover great deals on top brand workout gear, like high quality walking shoes, which might lead to another discovery.
40,000 steps, baby. Who's on top now, Karen?
You've taken the office step challenge a step too far. Don't worry, though. Sierra also has yoga gear. It might be a good place to find your zen. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss. After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILLY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
There starts to become that factor. Like, everybody talks about, like, one of my players who I taught as a junior who's now 22, and he's one of the best ball strikers you'll ever see, right? And then now when he goes to qualifying school in a few weeks, right, one of the greatest ball strikers might make it, might not make it. You might never hear of him. So a lot more to the game when they get to the highest level.
Well, and I think to be great, it takes, as a player, it takes some personality quirks. And like you were describing Patty and Patrick Harrington, and to be honest, you're describing yourself a little bit too, the willingness to stand there for 13 hours and do something, you know, you could make the argument that there's a little bit of a screw loose there. That's something the average person wouldn't do. So whenever people ask me, oh, you know, why wouldn't Tiger go find someone, you know, I could teach Tiger just like anybody else could, or I could teach Scottie Scheffler just like anyone else could. What I think people don't realize, and Tony, you know this as well, the bedside manner that it takes, the attitude that it takes, almost like you need to speak several different languages just to be able to relate to super elite athletes, because they aren't wired the same way that most people are. And I think that gets lost more than anything. It isn't just here's a list of stuff to do. If you go do this, you're going to play great and you're going to win the US Open next week. That's just not the way it works.
No. And I think one of the arts of what we do is having that information, but finding the right time to tell them to do it, or the right way to get the message across. Because I'm sure
it could be the order in which you do it. It could change things. Yeah.
Or even say you have to tell someone to do it more than what would be, you know, quote unquote, technically correct. I can remember watching Randy Smith give someone a lesson, and if you recorded the lesson and just played it out and just judged him by what he said, it would seem like what he was saying was incorrect. However, what he was trying to get the person to do was exaggerate something in the other direction.
Right.
And I think knowing what to do and also knowing how to talk about it to get the person to do it. Those are two skills that need to marry together. And I think coaches sometimes, you know, coaches like Mike who have that gear that gets underrepresented or underestimated, where someone will say, oh, he's just looking at a screen. I don't think anybody would watch Mike teach and say, yeah, he needs the screen to make somebody get better. I would challenge anyone to watch that and say that's the case.
Yeah, I actually had a lesson not long ago where I was up at Montgomery Country Club, and one of those rare times where, I got there and I don't know how the hell it happened, but none of my shit was charged, right? And so the first two lessons I just had to do kind of like I used to do way back. And I got done and I was like, well, hell, those were pretty good lessons. I think I almost was more engaged because I was trying to, you know, make sure I did a good job. But shifting gears towards like recreational golfers, the regular golfer, I know you teach tons. I'm sure you teach tons of those up there. Like you talked early in the, when we were sitting here about shortening the learning cycle, basically helping people get better faster. What are some of the things that you've learned from your experience using like Jacobs 3D? Are there some myths or there's some misconceptions that you find that a lot of recreational golfers have that you dispel that makes them learn or get better faster?
It's all tips, right? You just give them tips.
You just give them tips.
I'll give you a real basic answer to that. Let's say, for example, you have a golfer and they're hitting a couple balls in front of you. They start with a 7-iron. They take the driver out. They make a couple swings. If you could identify, let's say that person inside their body at all their joints and everything they're going to do, whatever amount of torque, let's say the number is 100. Where is that torque coming from? Because body moves by pure torque between the joints. So if you start looking at that and you start envisioning the skeleton inside the body, you'll start to notice like, okay, that's not exactly a knee joint and a hip joint that's moving the right way. That's the lower back that's actually torquing this way. Oh, wait, look, the left hip joint is in a position where it's nowhere near the center of their joint. How can they create torque in that joint? So it's... There's a lot.
Well, I think what Jacob.
What I'm saying is what I try to do initially, let's just say if it was a half hour lesson and somebody just walked out and I never met them before, that would be where my lens would go first. It would go to the movement of the club and then it would go to all the available joints and how the golfer is torquing themselves. And then when you start looking at it like that, you'll start to see a lot of different movements in the body are more of tipping preventers than they are enhancers, just trying to get you to cancel out, whether it be your angular momentum or using a ground force just to stop yourself from falling over instead of an enhancer.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, what Jacobs 3D's always done is helped people figure out what the most horsepower they could generate from their own frame, from their own engine, from their own body. And I think what freaked me out when I first saw it was, like Mike said, how many different options there are. I mean, there's it's infinity number. So to sort of walk in there and go, yeah, if you just do this one move, if you take it to the inside on the way back, or if you know, any singular tip that you hear from a tour player to go try, I guess maybe it could work, but probably not going to based on what your body's like and your frame. So I think the getting people aware that, like Mike said, what within the framework of your body is keeping you from doing what you can do the best.
I'll give you a perfect example. If you had 10 coats in your closet and you put and they were progressively, one was like a little shell layer coat up to your biggest, heaviest tweed coat, right? Thickness. Would you swing the same in all those different coats if you went out and hit? There'd be no way. So they're all made of different fabric and density, just like we are too. Like, you could even take somebody who's not overweight. They could look skinny to you, but the fabric of their body can be made so densely that it's just like the oversized coat. So none of us even have the same type of fabric or glue in our body to move. So
does the, and this is shit, this is just for me. So does the Jacobs 3D, when you do that, does it help you? Kind of keeping it along that analogy there, does it identify the type of fabric that each person is made of? Is that kind of what it does? I mean, is that part of it?
We use assessments to lead us down that road.
Okay.
It's actually pretty easy to find out if someone's either a dense fabric or a loose fabric. I guarantee you, the three gentlemen you see on this Zoom, we are dense fabric.
I was just about to ask you. I thought you're going to have to use some real scientific thought.
Your dense fabric people are going to be people who heal really quick. They might get injured, but they heal really quick. If they get cut, they stop bleeding quick. They're definitely most likely to be a couch potato because they can sit and they don't get uncomfortable. And then your looser fabric people are people who can't sit still, right? They can't sit on the plane. They have to stand up. They're always trying to stretch and loosen themselves up because it hurts more because they're so much looser. So I'm in the couch potato heritage.
Yeah. I'm just going to call you dense from now on. I'm cool with that.
All right. So I'm going to be asking for tips here. I know we're not going to necessarily get tips here, but I'm doing my impersonation of Matt Rudy right now. But for a 15 handicapper that comes to you, that's a dense fibered person, yeah. Right? Where would you start with them? What are some things that they could look for to make, or maybe something they could go work on and do or think about? It could even
see, he wants you to give them something they can do.
I mean, I think for them, just on a general scale, based on people I see coming and going, the regular golfer, I think they have to have a conversation with themselves on what the end of the backswing is going to look like compared to somebody who's looser, right? It's going to be a completely different backswing. And then your majority of your tour players are looser fabric people. So when you see the club reach parallel at the top of the backswing, if you're one of us, chances are it ain't going to make it there. So then if you try to make it there, you're going to sell out other joints of your body and other parts of your body to create the torque that leads up to a jumbled pile of inconsistency.
So, yeah. So if you go beyond where you can physically do, you've got to do something that probably isn't going to put you in the best position.
Something's got to give. So somewhere else, you're going to create torque with something that shouldn't be creating torque. And then what happens is it's usually the lower back or another part of the body. Mm-hmm. And then you can't untorque yourself then out of that. So then you use another part of the body to sell out to help you untorque that one. And then that one's torqued. And that's why golf is what it is.
I mean, I would say from watching Mike give lots and lots and lots of lessons, the other thing that people are fascinated by is their concept of what makes the club move fast is probably the opposite of what really makes it move. Mm-hmm. Fast. So people come in actually trying to do things that make they're making the club move slower on purpose.
Correct.
What they're trying to do
is intuitive to them. They wouldn't realize that you probably want to speed up the hands and then slow them down, like cracking a whip.
So I think a lot of the average person lesson stuff, just changing someone's conception of what really will make the club move fast. I think people's brains are incredible. And if you give them the correct intention and say, well, actually, these are some strategies that make the club move faster, I think there's a lot of improvement, even if there's some technical things to maybe just tweak a little bit, just changing that intention and getting the club at end to move faster because you're doing the right things. I think that's a
big from the sounds of this conversation, right? There is really no tip to just give the everyday person. So the tip might be to take a deeper look, a deeper dive to yourself and all that. That just might be the tip.
That's why I left Golf Digest. We ran out of tips. There weren't any more.
It's because Jacobs couldn't come up with any more tips. It's all your fault.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
All right. Okay, so last part here. We're looking under the hood. You got somebody that – how can – what are some tips for people – what are some things people need to understand about how to create speed the right way, or what creates speed?
What creates speed, and this is going to sound pretty technical and stuff, is proximal initiation, distal delay, proximal stability, distal athleticism. So what that means is...
Thank God you're going to explain this.
So proximal, think of the parts of the body that are closest to your belly button, mm-hmm. your pelvis, your rib cage. So proximal initiation, in golf we're mostly rotational. So the proximal parts to your belly button are your bigger rib cage, your pelvis. So if they activate first, proximal initiation, then things like the club and the hands are a little bit more delayed, right? Especially on the downswing when the big parts of the body initiate, and you know when you watch golfers, it looks like they're holding the club up this way and then it doesn't explode out till later. So proximal initiation, distal delay, but then it has to become proximal stiffness for distal athleticism. So things have to slow down to get distal athleticism. Whether they're slowing down from a conscious effort by the golfer or they're slowing down because the outside parts of the body, the distal parts, are moving out is another story. I'm going to suggest to you it's the latter, that you should not try to decel body parts when you go and train. If the segments that are adjacent to the part you want to slow down are not timed properly, it will be impossible for them to slow down. They should slow down more from the geometry of movement than you trying to say, okay, hit and hold or something like that.
But that's right. how you get hurt. And that's how players get hurt.
Exactly. I love that, because that's what, you know, like thinking of the 15 handicapper. And to me, some of them, they've been told to do some of that stuff and they're trying to do it, right? Trying to stop it. Like, shit, they were already stopping to begin with. They didn't have much going on, you know? No, that's awesome. This has been good. I got to go replay this whole thing and look up all those words.
There you go. We'll expect a quiz before you come up.
Oh, I will be stressed and studying before I make the trip up there. Shit, I'm gonna have Rudy just fly down to like do terms with me. But no,
Tony, you should change the name of your fantasy football team to Proximal Initiation.
Distal athleticism.
Distal athleticism.
I'm getting ready to text my wife right now. Proximal distillation.
And just need some distal. Distal athleticism.
Yeah, if I put athleticism in, she won't know I'm making something up. So anyway, you'll probably think I got a girlfriend if I put proximal.
Just blame the ghostwriter.
You guys are the best. Hey, Michael, seriously, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks for having me.
And also, seriously, I want to come up and do some stuff. I really want to learn more. And Matthew, as always, thanks for interpreting and making me sound reasonably good with English.
Always great to see you guys. Two of my favorite people.
All right. You're the best. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.